as we begin this morning, Matthew chapter 7. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say a few quick things. One is, we're glad to see so many people with us this morning. We have, like always, several visitors with us, and we're thankful that you could be here with us. We hope that while you're here, you just see a group of people who love God, who love each other, and want to follow what the Bible says. And so we pray that while you're here, you just feel like family and you join in with our worship and our study of God's Word this morning. Also, just a real quick note, some of you might have seen on Facebook, because I know she said something there too, but some prayers were solicited and they wanted it announced this morning. And so we thought we'd just take this moment real quick to announce it to the whole congregation. But one of our members, Hillary Black, has been struggling some time with what they know now, postpartum depression. And so she wanted it announced, and I talked to Wayne, and we just thought we'd announce it right now, that if we could just start praying for her. There's a lot of difficulties that might seem normal to a lot of people, she says, but are difficult for her with the postpartum depression. Some of you might have been through that yourself, so you know exactly what she's talking about. And so if we can just keep her in our prayers, I know she would appreciate that, along with Jacob and the kids. Just keep all of them in your prayers at this time as she deals with that. Again, we're just so glad that all of you are here this morning, and thankful that you chose to be here. You know, there's something that, as a parent, I have grown to love this holiday more than any of the holidays, and it's probably because now that I'm a parent, I understand it a little bit better, and that is Christmas. And I remember growing up, especially, when we would get really excited for Christmas, we would make our list, and we would have our list that we would give to Santa, and as we grew older, you know, Santa, we expected certain things from Santa, and we expected Santa to look at our list and to make sure that we were getting the things on our list. And I remember just the excitement of knowing, as I was opening presents, things that I wanted, things that I was asking for, were going to be given to me. And I can't remember a Christmas, or even a birthday for that matter, where I asked for something and then I received something completely different than what I asked for. Now, I never got everything I asked for. That's not what I'm saying. You know, there were some things. I remember 16 came along and man, I wanted Santa to bring me a car. Well, that didn't happen, right? So I'm not saying I got everything I asked for, but I'm saying that the things I got were typically things I did ask for on my list. And it made it for a nice holiday to know that I was receiving things that I wanted and things that I asked for. Now, as a parent, what I've seen in my kids is they, or Landon especially, this last year was so excited about making a list. And he had lots of wonderful things on that list that he was asking for. And you know what Santa tried to do? Santa tried to get him everything on that list that he asked for, because we know that's what he wanted. And so that's what Santa tried to do this year. Now, what kind of parent would I be if, you know, because we did Santa gifts and we do parents gifts. Now, what kind of parent would I be if I look at Santa's list or Landon's list and I say, you know what, I know he wanted a Batmobile this year. You know, he's not going to get that. He's going to get something else instead. He's going to get some, I don't know, Barbies. Well, he didn't ask for that. And that wouldn't mean anything to him because he didn't ask for that. Now, sometimes we get gifts we don't want. I remember socks and underwear for Christmas was not the gifts I wanted. But sometimes you just get some things we don't want. But I can't remember a time where if I asked for something from my parents or even Brooke for a holiday, where I opened up something and just said, I didn't ask for this. You know, there's something that Jesus says here in Matthew 7 that along these lines helps us understand how God treats his children and how God treats us in our everyday lives. And really, he couples it with, I know Christmas wasn't a thing. That was just an example that I could think of to help us understand what Jesus is saying here. But he helps us understand how a parent treats their child. And what he says here in Matthew chapter 7, let's start reading in verse 7. And I think you'll notice the parallels here with what Jesus is trying to tell us. Matthew 7, in verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." He says something there that parallels that example that I just said at the very beginning. And he says, which one of you? Is there a man among you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? He's asking this question, but he's asking it in such a way where he's letting them see no person would ever do that to their own child. If his child's asking for bread, it means his child is hungry. His child needs something. And by handing him a stone, you're basically saying, I don't care about what you need. I don't care about what you want. And he says there's no father, no person that would ever do that to their child. Or he says, if he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Again, the child needs something. Fish, he needs food. Why would you give him a serpent? Why would you give him something dangerous, something he can't use when he's asking for something as simple as a fish? And then he brings it home in verse 11. He says, if you then being evil, that is, he's talking to a sinful group of people, a sinful generation. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. That's a simple thing that we all know and understand. We love our kids. We want to give them what they want. And it goes much farther than just presents at a holiday time. I mean, we love our kids and we want to give them anything they want. If there's something going on at school, we want them to have that experience. We want them to go to the college they want to go to. We want them to have the job they want. We want them to have the car they want. Whatever it is, we want what's best for our kids. And he says, if we being sinful know how to give good gifts to our children, then how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So Jesus teaches an important lesson here. We have a heavenly Father who's listening to us. If you ask, it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, that's not saying that anything we ever want, we just ask and God's going to grant us our greatest wishes. He's not a genie. He's not here to give us whatever we want. But what Jesus is saying here is we have a heavenly Father who knows what his children need and is going to take care of his children. He's never going to give us anything to hurt us. He's never going to do anything that's going to compromise us spiritually. He's going to take care of us. He's not going to hurt us. And he loves us enough to give us the things that we seek and that we need to find. But he uses that lesson to teach what I think he's really trying to get at in verse 12. Because in verse 12, he says, therefore. And I always say, if you've been in one of my classes, if there's a therefore, what's it there for? Right? So he's just taught this lesson. We have a heavenly Father who's going to take care of us. If we ask him, he's going to give it. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be open to us. God knows how to give to his children who ask of him. Now, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, last week, we looked at what it meant to love your neighbor. And this right here goes even deeper than what we looked at last week into the question of who is my neighbor? And how do we love our neighbor? If we love our neighbor, we're going to treat them how we would want to be treated. Now, growing up, you've probably heard this, and it took years for me to click that this was in the Bible. Because I first probably heard this in preschool or kindergarten. That you're going to treat others the way you want to be treated. If little Johnny or little Susie has a toy, and I go up and grab the toy from little Johnny or Susie, well, that's not nice. And I could probably expect the same thing to happen to me. They're going to come and take the toy back from me, and then a fight is going to break out. And so we teach our kids, you treat others the way you want to be treated. And it's just a basic, simple rule of life. And there's lots of different rules of life like this, but we know this as the golden rule. That's kind of what we teach our kids. The golden rule. Teach our kids to do unto others as you would have them do unto you is the way that's most often put that way. And if you look at the front of your bulletin this week, you see there's lots of things we teach our kids. They're just basic, simple things. But sometimes I think what happens is we grow up. And when we grow up, we get greedy. When we grow up, we get selfish. And when we grow up, it's almost like we have forgotten the first principles that were instilled in us at a young age. That's what the Hebrew writer was saying in our scripture reading this morning. They should have been needing the meat of the word, yet they were still only needing the milk. They had to be treated like babes. And sometimes we just need to go back and look at the basic principles of what it means to love our neighbor and what it means to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. I want you to think for just a moment about this golden rule. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of people who need something. And I want you to think about some of these things that we either see in scriptures or we see just around as we go throughout our lives. Well, what if you, as we look at this, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What would you do in some of these situations? What if you were the one that was hungry? You would want to be fed. If you were the one that couldn't afford a meal, that you felt the pains in your stomach, you would want some food, wouldn't you? If you were the one that was thirsty, that was just dying of thirst, your mouth was dry, that you haven't had a drink for days, you would be the one that would want a drink, wouldn't you? What if you and I were the ones that were naked? We couldn't afford clothes, but maybe what you already have on your back, and even those are tearing and not much. You would want to be clothed. What if you and I were the poor? Which goes to the next one, we couldn't afford a home. We would want something, wouldn't we? We would want someone to take care of us. We would want a home to be in more than anything. And if you go farther than that, and you look at maybe the spiritual level, if you and I were the ones that were broken, we would want to be fixed, wouldn't we? Very rarely, I've never known anybody do this. Just if we're talking about a physical standpoint, if someone breaks their arm, very rarely, if ever, you're going to hear someone say, I don't need a doctor. No, but if we break a bone in our body, we want to go get it fixed. And spiritually, what if we were the ones that were broken? We would want to be fixed, wouldn't we? What if we were the ones that were sick? Whether that's physically sick, we go to the doctor to get cured. But what if spiritually, you and I were the ones that were sick? We would need some help getting better, being cured, wouldn't we? And what if you and I were the ones that were lost? We would want someone to come find us. Have you ever been lost somewhere? I remember going to the woods. We would go camping with a big group of church people when I was growing up. And I remember one time this boy, I believe his name was Corey. And there was this panic throughout the camp, and everyone said, we can't find Corey. And we were just in the middle of the woods, middle of nowhere. And I think it was a couple hours. I could be mistaken. I was young, but it felt like a couple hours. Where there was just this panic of, okay, no kids go anywhere because we need to find Corey. We don't want anyone else wandering off and getting lost either. And finally, I mean, I remember watching him. He was found, and he was being carried back in someone's arms, and tears were just streaming down his face. And I could, even at a young age, I couldn't help but to think, how horrible that must have felt to know that he was lost and he had no idea where he was. Thankfully, he was found. And if that were you and I, lost, we would want to be found. I think if we were any of these things, we would want someone to be kind enough to stop and take care of us. And we looked at that a little bit last week with the Good Samaritan. We would want someone just to stop and take notice of our condition and help us. And not pass by on the other side of the road like the priest and the Levite. We would want someone to take compassion on us and do something about it. We're hungry, we're thirsty, we're naked, poor, whatever it is, we need some sort of help. But we have to ask ourselves this, and I think one of the most humbling questions. If I were on the other end, I think we would all agree that if we were these things, we would want to be fed. We would want to drink. We would want someone to stop and take care of us. But if I were on the other end, would I be the one? Would I feed the hungry? Would I give a drink to someone who is thirsty? Would I clothe the naked? Would I give money to the poor? Would I give a home to the homeless? Would I help fix the broken or cure the sick or find the lost? Because if I want people to do this for me, am I willing to do this for other people? And what we see Jesus teaching here is, we have a God. If a father is willing to do these things for his children, and think about this as a parent for just a minute. When our kids are hungry, we give them some food. And if you're the breadwinner, if we can call it that, of your family, what you do is to take care of your family, to give them food and something to drink, and to give them clothes so they're not naked, and to give them money so that we don't have to be poor and we can survive in this world, and to, we give them a home over their head. And when our kids come to us and they have a boo-boo or something, we put a Band-Aid on it. We give them mommy and daddy's hugs and kisses to make them feel better. We do it for our children. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. We have a father who is willing to do this for his children. Now the question is, are we willing to do it for other people? Are we willing to go out into our lives and into this society and whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them? We live in a society that expects things to be done for us. Especially us millennials. And I'm in that category. We expect things to be done for us. That's kind of the mentality of the youth today especially. However, we very rarely lift a finger for other people. And I want you to notice what Jesus says. It will be later in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 25. Let's go ahead and turn there together. In Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, he drives the same point home. Although much later in his ministry, he drives the same point home in Matthew 25 and verse 31. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me.' Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take Me in. Naked, you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me.' Then they will also answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then He will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I want you to notice a couple things about what Jesus says there. Yes, you see quite a few of the lists that we just went over. And there's a reason I picked those ones, because they're found here in Matthew 25. But remember last week when we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we looked at the very first question that was asked to prompt Jesus to give the answers of love your God and love your neighbor, the question was, how do I inherit eternal life? And we said, Jesus found two things essential to eternal life. That is, love God and love your neighbor. And we went on to go over the story of what it means to love your neighbor. Going deeper into this, notice how Jesus starts this little bit of teaching. He says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And the righteous will be on my right hand and the unrighteous on my left. And it will be the righteous that inherit the kingdom. Well, why did they inherit the kingdom? Because as Jesus goes on to explain, there were people that were hungry and thirsty and naked and poor and broken and homeless, and you took care of them. That's why I said this goes much deeper into that love your neighbor. And it's the people that will not inherit the kingdom. In fact, they'll be sent into everlasting punishment, it says. It's the people that ignored them, the people who were hungry and thirsty, and so on. So again, what I see Jesus trying to teach us here is these things are essential to our eternal life. And if that doesn't wake us up to how we view people, and especially how we treat people, then I don't know what will. Because twice now, the last 2 weeks, we've looked at stories where eternal life has been the focus, and the answer has been, love God and love your neighbor, and here in Matthew 25, treat people with respect. And I think it's interesting that he uses this word in verse 44, that the people were asking, Lord, when did we not see you hungry? When did we not see you thirsty or a stranger? And they go through the list and it says, and did not minister to you. Some of your versions might say, and did not serve you. And that's our theme this year. That's what we're trying to get across as a congregation this year, and our idea to serve one another. This is essential to our eternal life, to serve one another. And I want you to think for just a moment, because sometimes I hold this mentality, and this is shame on me. But the old way of thinking, especially in this day and age, and I think many of us still hold on to this way of thinking, is that people believe the old law to be a law of retaliation and rebellion. In fact, there's a Latin term used for it. We've talked about it a little bit in our Peter class downstairs. It's called lex talionis, the law of retaliation. And that's how people viewed the old law. It was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus would even say in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it was said to love your neighbor but hate your enemy. And that was kind of the mentality of the people of the Old Testament. If someone loves me, I'll love them back. But if they don't like me, well, I don't need to like them. And you see that picture there, it's almost like I can give payback whenever I want to. Well, what Jesus does here is he's going to set the record straight. And what Jesus says, especially in our verse in Matthew chapter 7, after he says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophet. That is, he is saying what the law and the prophets, that Old Testament that we have today, they didn't call it the Old Testament, they called it the law and the prophets. But he says, what you see in the law and the prophets, it was all about this one thing, treat other people fairly and with kindness. It wasn't a law of retaliation. It wasn't a law of payback, to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's not what God's law was all about. There were certain circumstances where payback or justice, maybe would be the better way to put it, was necessary. But what Jesus says was the law and the prophets was all about this one principle. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. This is what God's law was about. And if you go back and just, if you've got several days, you want to read through God's law, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll see time and time again, God says something that says something along these lines. If you take something from them, you pay it back, and then some. If you steal, you give back what you stole, plus a fifth. It was not about retaliation, but it was about being fair and trying to be kind to others. And so we must look at how we treat people. Sometimes we go back to the old way, the old law. what Jesus is saying here is there's a new way to treat people. And it's to treat people the way I want to be treated. When you think about Jesus, when you think about the love that Jesus showed, God looked down at his world. And he saw people that were hungry and thirsty, naked and poor, homeless, broken, sick and lost. Yes, physically, but more important, spiritually. And that's you and I. And that's exactly what Jesus came here to do. And that's why we read in places like the New Testament that he was the bread of life and the water of life so that we can be filled. The Beatitudes would say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If we're hungry and thirsty for God's Word, it's Jesus who could fill us. Because he says in the book of John, when he talks about himself being the bread of life and even the water of life, in John chapter 4, he says, this water, if you drink from the water of this well, you're going to thirst again, but I offer you a water where you'll drink of it and never thirst again. And he would say the same thing about his body being the bread of life, that you'll never hunger again. And that's the kind of love that was shown to us, because we're hungry and thirsty and going through this life not being filled, but yet Jesus can fill us. We were naked and poor and homeless. And it was God and Christ who gave us comfort, an inheritance, and a home in heaven. The book of Galatians chapter 3 verses 24 through 26 say that if we have been baptized into Christ, we become heirs according to the promise. And as heirs according to the promise, we are in line to receive the inheritance of Abraham. That is, we can receive the promises that were promised so long ago in the book of Genesis. And that's not receiving a promised land here in this world, but a promised land that is spiritual in nature, and that is our heavenly home. And it's because of Jesus. That if we, as it says in the Beatitudes again in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And lastly, what Jesus saw was we were broken. We were sick and we were lost. And yet Jesus gave us purpose. He healed us from our sins and our transgressions. He wiped the slate clean. He gave us a direction to head. He gave us a home to be wanted in. That we don't have to wander around lost in this earth anymore. We have a home waiting for us. And as Jesus says in John 14, where I am going, there you will be also. When you look at that one verse, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the way Jesus treated us. He treated us the way he wants us to treat others. And when, as he said in Matthew 25, when we treat others with kindness and compassion and respect, we are treating Jesus the same exact way. And when we don't treat others with kindness and compassion and respect, we are still treating Jesus the same exact way. It's also said, to whom much is given, much is expected. You and I have been given a lot. You and I live in a society that is blessed beyond our imagination. We have problems as a society. Well, absolutely, every place does. But we live in a society that is just blessed. We live in a country that is blessed. We live in economic times where we are blessed people. But more importantly, we live in a time where we are blessed because we got to see Jesus' love and his service to other people. And to whom much is given, much is expected. We've been given a lot by God. Now, I believe it's expected of us to go out and to treat others the way Christ treated us. God has given us His forgiveness, His love and compassion. And it's time for you and I to share that love and forgiveness and compassion with everyone that we come in contact with. You know, this principle is something that, again, we learn in kindergarten. I remember learning this at a very early age, to treat others the way you want to be treated. I think sometimes we forget exactly what that feels like. I think sometimes we forget what it feels like to be treated not fairly and unkindly. And sometimes it takes a wake-up call to realize that maybe we haven't been acting as we should. Sometimes that wake-up call is sin. And when we have sin in our lives, what we need to do is we need to make it right. And what Jesus is showing us when we make it right is, I am willing to forgive you of your past. To forgive you of all those wrongdoings, of all those sins, of all those horrible things that we've done. And He's willing to allow us to start over. To walk in newness of life so that we can fully grasp and understand what it means to be treated fairly and with kindness. Because if you want to talk about fair, what's fair is we deserve death for what we've done in our life. The punishment of sin is death. But yet Jesus shows kindness and compassion and is willing to take that death for us. And He took it on the cross. And if you're here this morning and you haven't been following the golden rule, I know it's simple and I know it's something we teach our children, but it's time to treat others the way we want to be treated. To treat others with love and respect. To not ask the question, who's my neighbor? But to treat all people the way they are meant to be treated. And that is the way God and Jesus treated us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to see this golden rule put into action. The only way you'll see it put into action truly is when you are buried in the waters of baptism and you see the love and kindness that Christ shows us by wiping our slate clean and rising up in newness of life. Don't wait until this life is over. Don't wait until Jesus comes back and separates the sheep to His right and the goats to His left and says, you never treated people the way I wanted you to treat them, because by then it will be too late. If you need to give your life to Christ this morning, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.